This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 3rd, episode 1352, brought to you today by our friends at Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse world.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Yeah. I feel like there's a parade coming down.
I know. I love that opener.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us in the middle of the week.
It's good to be back. Be back together, rather.
You haven't been here. You know,
I was here Monday. You weren't here Monday.
But, and then you weren't here Friday because you were traveling. So it's been quite a while. And Haley, I think we're hearing a little feedback. We've got Haley here instead of Jennifer. I figured that Jennifer was probably out riding her horse, taking the morning off.
No, I just put her to work billing. She's billing. She's trying to make us some money.
Thank God we have people to bill.
Yes,
amen,
that's
brother.
That's what we say every month. She says every month, it takes me a whole day to do the billing. I said, that's better than taking 5 minutes.
You know what really takes a long time is getting all them checks in. Just, they just coming in all the time. No, just kidding. Welcome back. I hear you had a good time at ADA. As usual, you overposted on Facebook.
I did overpost on Facebook, but we did have a good time. It was, it was a fun ADA. Thanks to Colleen for filling in on Monday and for helping out, and her sister helped out all weekend. So that was nice, and got to see some old friends. And there wasn't a lot of what I would consider brand new products. You know, this January show tends to not be brand new products, but, you got some new blankets and 1,000. Could there be any more breeches in the world? Oh, my God.
You know, as a man, you just don't appreciate or understand the importance of a good breech. You know, and I mean, I wear breeches all day long. Haley probably does. I mean, she's in school.
Yeah.
She's like,
yeah, but do we need 1,000 different types of breeches? Literally.
Yes. There are 1,000 shapes of women. Yes, thank you. And, I used to really love one particular kind, and now I've moved, as I've gotten older, I've moved to a different kind, and then I had a baby, and now I'm even at a different kind. So, yes, I love all the options. When I was a kid, there was, one breech. It was straight-legged. You just either fitted or you didn't, and I love the fact that they are – there's so many options. It is overwhelming, especially for a man, but I did see that you tried some on.
The Fitz people came out with the men's line, and they were right across from us. We were in a different spot this time, so they were right across from us, and you probably know where I mean, at the front of the hall there. And they're super nice young couple that bought Fitz here a year ago, and, they're really trying to, Fitz is a good brand anyway, but they're really trying to build it. So they came out with this men's line of breeches, and the guy, the husband, looks really good because he's really thin. So he looked really good in these breeches. I not so much. And I know you guys love wearing breeches all day, but I still think they're uncomfortable as hell. And nothing about the Fitz breeches. I just am not a breeches guy.
There is something to be said about, this is how we roll in my house, is I'm wearing the breeches pretty much all afternoon because I'm teaching and riding and stuff. And then when I come in the house, this is how sexy it gets in my house. Oh yeah. Stripping off those breeches to put on a pair of giant Felice pajama pants. Woo! There is nothing better. Nothing better.
Now, I will make a sexist comment and say that there were a lot more models this time. You know how they sometimes have models modeling the breeches at different booths? And there are some really attractive looking breeches right now out there in various colors.
Uh-huh. It was the breeches.
Yeah, the breeches uh-huh. were just very attractive. I do have to say that.
I like that you clarify it with, I'm going to make a sexist comment right now. And then you talk about the breeches.
That's right.
Who are you kidding?
Yes. They were
going to have a good show for you. Haley is sitting in for producer Jen today.
Intern Haley. Woo-hoo. Intern what are we going to do to her today? We have not been mean to her once. You know that.
You know what? Because we like her to come back.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Because we have like 8 other people that signed up to be interns and you've contacted none of them.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Like, I have 2 students of mine that are in their 20s. They're like, why has nobody? I'm like, I don't know.
Okay, you know that billing thing I talked about earlier? That's why. I'm working on that.
Who's doing the billing? Her.
No, I'm working on getting the sales so she has somebody to bill.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. Haley, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's show, we'll rise and shine with the AQHHL Trail Challenge Program with Sarah Davison. We'll enjoy a pre-recorded visit with Colleen Rutledge about the business of eventing, and we'll go over a few lists with some interesting headlines.
Trail Challenge.
Saddle up for an adventure.
That is hard to say.
I tried to say it earlier when I was looking at the show notes, and AQHA Trail Challenge Program. It's like...
Okay. Well done.
I practiced. Daily Winnie time. I have to give her my Daily Winnie to one of our auditors, and I know you saw this post yesterday. Celeste, one of our auditors, Celeste, was in the private auditor's Facebook page, which you can get involved with for as little as $1 a month. Just go to our website and click on the auditor banner. But she was in there, and she wrote that she was going through the back catalog of episodes for Hit'em.
Don't do it. She was
all the way back to year one. First of all, the sound sucks so bad, Dan. I don't know how she's doing that without pulling her hair out. But more power to you, girl. And she said, I asked her why. And she said, I want to hear Jamie read Black Beauty. Wink.
What?
She winked, winked, and said, LOL, but seriously. I hear some things about Demure. There's a name we haven't heard in a while. Jet, Glory, etc. And I want to know how they all started. So I'll be a Hit'em expert after this. And I think she can become the Hit'em historian. Whenever we're not sure about something, we'll just go to Celeste.
Listen, Celeste, don't do it. Just call me. Just call. I'll tell you whatever you want to know. Don't. It was so bad. That was back before I actually told people I had a radio show. Because the sound was so bad that I didn't want anybody to know. It was a secret. And the good news is we have this sound now and we can yell it from the rafters and people will sponsor, hopefully. So anyway, well done, Celeste. Good luck. I will read you Black Beauty. And you know what? If you guys want me to read Black Beauty again.
No, they can go back and listen to the crappy sound.
No, but it's bad sound.
I don't care.
To start over.
I don't care. I'd rather hear you sing, to be honest.
Okay, Haley, you're a producer today. I want you to go on our Facebook page on Horses in the Morning, and I want you to say, okay, now that the sound is improved on Horses in the Morning, okay, who would like to hear Jamie read Black
How
Beauty
How quickly
again?
Can I go in and block Haley from posting?
No, I want to know. I'll post a little picture of Black Beauty in there so people get excited. You know, let's do this.
Jamie has spoken.
Only because the Marguerite Henry books are not public domain. That's the only reason I haven't started reading
true.
Misty of Chickadee.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to get sued.
Yeah, exactly. My Daily Winnie goes out to... Okay, I haven't given Zenyatta a Daily Winnie in a while, and I'm still not going to. I'm going to give it to her 3-year-old full brother, who has finally been named. His name is Day Coronado. He's owned by Coolmore. And he, Coolmore apparently always names their horses after famous people or events. And Day Coronado is in Ireland right now and is in training with Aidan O'Brien at Ballydoyle Stables. So,
is he going to run in Europe or here?
He's over in Ireland right now. Yeah. So who knows? I mean, the European tracks are a lot closer, but I can't wait to follow him. And he's 3 years old and he's big and beautiful. And gosh, he's bay, just gorgeous. So we will be following Dave Coronado quite a bit.
Very good.
I have a news story for you, Glenn, that I need you to be sitting down for.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm sitting.
Who do you love more, almost as much as your wife? What girl?
Carrie Underwood.
Next.
Wrong one. almost as love with my wife. Is the answer supposed to be you? Because I don't want to get that wrong.
No, it's not me. Okay, please. All right. Big Bang Theory.
Oh, Kaylee Cuoco.
I thought it was Cuoco. No, Cuoco?
I don't know. She won't call us back. I don't care.
Kaylee Cuoco. Yeah. Anyway, she has officially been named the 2015 Horsewoman of the Year by the Humane Society of the United States. It says that she went on to say, I will continue to raise awareness and do all I can to prevent horse slaughter and abuse. She says, thank you. Apparently last year she put a video online on behalf of the HSUS Humane Society opposing the horse meat trade. And, you know, knowing that she's a big time show jumper, she's done a lot to help encourage the banning of horse slaughter. So Kaylee has now been named the 2015 Horsewoman of the Year. And she got this big bronze statue. And if you'd like, I will share the picture with you. It looks like she's on the set of The Big Bang Theory accepting this award. Hmm. I'm pretty sure that that's what the picture's from.
I don't care unless she comes on the show. I'm just saying. Maybe we could get her now that she's a spokesperson. We can go through the Humane Society to get her.
Write that down, Haley.
There you go, Haley. There's your challenge. Haley Cuoco. Get her on.
Get on. Let's do it.
Get on that.
Just kidding.
All right. I thought who you were going to talk about, and I posted this on Facebook. Seeing that we're in Celebrity Hour, I posted this on Facebook, and that is a picture of a certain celebrity on a white horse.
Oh, dear God.
Lady Gaga riding her brand new horse that she got as a gift, about a month ago, I guess, which hit all the news. So she got this white horse for a gift, and there was pictures of her riding it on, which page was that you sent us to? Really bad ads or something.
Really bad horse ads.
On Facebook, which they must have stolen from us, but we'll forgive them for that. So there was this pictures of her riding her new white horse. But riding, I use that term loosely. So do you care to describe?
No, you're going to describe.
So she is in a bareback pad with no stirrups or anything. Barefoot, no helmet, because that would mess up her beautiful white hair. Is that yellow or gold? I don't know what color that is. But she is riding in what you guess could be posting, except she doesn't have any stirrups. So she is really kind of just sitting up on the horse's neck the whole time.
Bless her heart. The bareback pad has slid back to where it's soon to become a bucking strap.
Yes, it is true. It's in the middle of the belly.
Here's what I would like to do.
It kind of looks like she has a stick up her butt in this particular picture I'm looking at.
I say please post it on Facebook as soon as possible.
I did.
Okay.
It's there.
So, Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. Gaga, if you will.
I don't know how we would say it.
I don't know what her friends
call
her.
We can call her whatever. Another one that's never going to be on the show.
No. I'm going to go ahead and put this out there.
Oh.
So, here's the deal. Clearly, we need to continue to pursue our education in horsemanship. I mean, really need to continue education. I love the fact that you have a horse and that you love horses and you're interested in it and you're actually getting out and riding. I got to say that because how many people buy a horse and get a white horse and it's in the backyard and never ride it? So I got to give her a little credit for getting out there and doing it. Girl, put some shoes on. Put some shoes on, put a helmet on, let's tighten that girth, let's put a bridle on, let's do a lesson. Let's do a lesson. I am more than happy to be flown out to your place in Malibu and give you just some basic riding lessons. I support you. I encourage you. I wrap my arms around your gaga-ness, and I would like to help you. If I cannot, if you don't want me to help you, I will find somebody who can. That's how loving and supportive I'm trying to be right now. Are you proud of me, Glenn?
I am. And oh, by the rate, by the way, Jamie's rate is $1,000 an hour. Just
I'm
saying.
Pretty expensive, but you know what? Quality is worth it. You get what you pay for.
That's right.
So I just wanted to throw that out there for the late lady, or do I call her Gaga? Gaga? I don't know. What the hell's her name? Somebody Google that. Whatever. I would like to be there to support her and help her, because here's why I decided to take this angle, Glenn. Because there's a Facebook page called Really Bad Horse Ads, and somebody posted all of these really bad pictures on that horse ad. And I'm not kidding you. There must be 10 million comments of everybody just shredding this poor girl, just shredding her. And so I am here to help. You know, I started playing guitar when I was younger and I was terrible, but I took some lessons and now I'm just only mediocre. So you can improve. You just need to find help and you need to know where to find it. And I will keep our lessons mostly confidential.
Yeah, at $1,000 an hour. I just throw that in there again. Yeah.
For $2,000 an hour, it will be 100%.
Say confidential. She'll sign an agreement. No pictures. You know, and Celeste, by the way, seeing she's gone through the back catalog of episodes, has probably found the episode where you played your guitar and harmonica on the show.
We don't need to talk.
She played guitar and her harmonica on the show. That was way, way back in the beginning. Yeah, that was first year probably, right?
Huh. Well,
I probably
I can't
still
believe
have
you didn't fire
that
me.
Somewhere.
I will kill you.
Hey, you! I didn't get a chance to play along in the Pick a Mustang competition that you had on Friday or whatever that was. So you're going out to the Saddle Horse Adoption, the Northern Nevada Correctional Center on February 20th, next week. Two weekends.
I'm so excited.
And you're heading out there and you're looking at buying, going to the auction and getting your little bidder's hand ready. And I was looking at the horses and maybe we could repost that or bring that back to the top, that post about with the link to the PDF file of all the horses. And I looked through, and I know everybody else, all the listeners had a chance, and they all played along on Friday picking, but I didn't get a chance to pick, and I just looked at them. And there's an interesting crop. I have to say that the horse by the name of Eugene has the squarest head I've ever seen on a horse. That is one big clunky head.
Bless his heart is what you say after that. And then I say, well, he's got room for a big brain.
He does, because that is that not the squarest head you've ever, maybe it's the angle of the picture or something, but that is one.
It's cute.
It is cute. I didn't say he wasn't cute.
That
but that's
was my pick.
Is it?
No. It doesn't matter. That means he's got a big brain.
Well, here it says Eugene is a very gentle bay gelding with a lot of personality. There we go. Let's read between the lines here. He is a very smooth and comfortable ride, and he loves to be ridden. He maneuvers very well. He backs up, side passes, and disengages his hips and shoulders with the slightest of pressure. He trailer loads well and picks up his feet easily. Well, there's what you need to bid on that, baby. You can sell that one in 2 minutes.
Well, the thing is, first of all, you can't sell him in 2 minutes because you have to keep him a year. Okay. Second of all, Jennifer actually picked that one as your next driving horse.
I'd have to find I have to have a custom bridle made for that head.
Now, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but how dare you make fun of Thor? I thought his head looked just like Thor's.
You know, I think because it's black. I don't know. This one, maybe it's just the picture. These pictures are kind of stocky or something. I don't know.
They're not stocky. Those are the horses.
Okay. Johnny Cash was my pick.
Yes.
I like Johnny Cash. Did you like Johnny Cash?
I really like Johnny Cash. Yeah. He's actually my third choice right now. But, you know, like I was telling Jen, I won't go over it all again, but you have to be really, you have to be ready for getting outbid. You know, like I have a budget. My budget's even smaller than when I went to get Thor, and my husband's in here, so I'm not going to talk about the budget. It's really small.
It's $500, right?
It is $500. So, yes. I actually really like Gunner. He's the first one to go. So typically, you know, maybe people aren't in their seats.
You know
ready,
what's funny? This shows how different we are. He was my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
But like you got to think about what I'm looking for is I would prefer something that was born wild and not born in the facility. And
how
I want something.
How do you tell that? Does it say?
It'll say the HMA, which is herd management area okay. on the right side.
And what's that?
So he was, what?
That does that mean it was born in a?
That means it was born in that area. If it was born in the facility, if the pregnant mom was captured, then it will say that okay. it was facility born.
I got it. Okay.
And I just think that coming in from the wild, they had just, I don't know. I don't know why. I just want one that was born in the wild. By God, it's going to be my horse and I get what I want. Okay. So there
for $500 only there, Chad. That's all.
I think $250 is our budget, honey. Gunner is, I think he, cause he looks a little
is
lighter.
Chad going along, by the way?
No.
Okay.
No. No, he's not going. He's going on a golf trip.
You know how sometimes they say the name matches the horse? Squirrel kind of looks like a squirrely kind of horse.
That's probably why they named him that.
Because he does look squirrely.
And if you read his ad, we read it on Friday. It's read between the lines. It's like a really bad ad. It reads like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he was my favorite. And I'm scrolling down because my next favorite was Zephyr. And Zephyr is the dapple gray, and he's just really pretty and really solid looking.
He kind of has a kind face, Zephyr.
Yeah. And then the next one I like is Johnny Cash, but you have to like plan the order of your bidding.
You know what I think? Johnny Cash is going to go for big bucks.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to get priced out on Johnny Cash and Zephyr, and I feel like I have a good shot with Gunner because he's going first. And like I said, maybe people haven't had their coffee yet and they're just not like sitting down and he's going to be coming gone. Everybody's going to be like, what happened? And everybody will be like, I just bought a Mustang for $200 because all you people are sleeping. Because that's my budget, $200. So anyway, planning out, then, you know, if I wait all the way till Zephyr goes, he's almost last. And then I get outbid and then I just drove for 4 days for nothing.
That is true. And that happens at auctions.
Absolutely does. And especially when there's more bidders than.
I mean, told you before that, you know, when we used to go to the Percheron auction, both of times we went, you know, I was like the second. They had like 1,000 Percherons, started 8 in the morning, and I bought mine at like 9 o'clock at night, second to last one to go.
And
we sat through a whole day like that. But then there was nobody left. I mean, it was like everybody had bought their horses and they were gone. And it was me and one other guy, you know. And so I got him for like $1,000 or something because there was nobody left. Everybody had gone home. But
how many had you bid on that day?
Probably 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, the ones that like you, the ones I wanted were going for 10 grand.
We have good taste, Glenn.
Yeah.
We have good taste.
Yeah. But, we ended up with a really cool horse, you know, by waiting till the end of the day.
So,
and then thank God the Amishman was hanging around in the driveway because that's the only way we got that horse onto the trailer.
Come on, we'll just lead him home.
Half an hour later, the Amishman comes up and said, you want some help? And I was like, well, what the hell? Right? So he like took him and walked him right on the trailer. I was like, okay, well, there we go.
He whispered to him. So I want to remind you that the last auction that the horses sold at, the first couple went for reasonable amounts. And then the last like 10 went for, all of them went for over $4,000 a piece. And the one divot, the one, the really beautiful that all of us were like, ooh, we like that one, went for $16,000. That was at this auction.
Hmm.
So I'm trying to, somebody told me just to make sure when you are driving in that you don't see this ginormous, beautiful, like $100,000 looking trailer. Because that's the lady from Malibu, and she's coming back.
Oh, no.
Apparently, the lady from Malibu made some big buck purchases last time, including a $16,000 Mustang. So, good. The money goes back to the program. Good for you.
That's not even the secret budget we're telling Chad, is it?
No, that's not within secret budget.
No.
There's no secret budget, Glenn.
Oh, that's
hi,
right.
Honey. Good morning. How are you?
Well, a couple other things here. By the way, you can see those Mustangs. Just head over to Horses in the Morning and scroll down a bit and you'll find the link to the Mustangs that we're talking about here and that she's going to be checking out at the auction. We can't wait. You should do some periscoping. From the auction.
They won't allow cell phones.
Oh, that's right, because it's a prison. I keep forgetting.
Let me go ahead and say that I'm breaking rules this time. I gotta take some pictures.
Can I also say that the do they confiscate your phones or do they just watch for it?
Nope, they don't confiscate your phones. Okay. They pretty much search your truck and trailer when you go in to make sure you don't harbor any fugitives or pulling anybody out of there.
Contraband.
This is a low security area. None of these inmates that are training these horses have committed violent crimes or anything like that. So,
although some of the one guy did look like he should have been an inmate, kind of looked like that. I gotta say that a couple of them looked like they were doing well. The other one didn't look so good.
Some of them look like they've lived hard.
Yes. But they get to work with the horses, so that's fun.
They've softened up with the horses, and like I said, it's a wonderful program, and I'm going to be totally positive because soon, hopefully, I put Jennifer on it. I should put Haley on it. Trying to get a hold of the person who's in charge of all of it. So it'd be great to have somebody from the facility to talk to us before we go.
Well, now, I have a story that hit the news. It was the biggest story of the last 2 days, and I'm sure you looked through the news feed and saw that this story was out there, and it's the story of David Bellis and his son Jacob, who decided to go out for a walk one day in England, and they just took a selfie. Well, the selfie was photobombed by this lady's horse, and the ladies, you know, did the whole lip in the air thing, photobombed. It was a really cute picture of this guy and his son and this horse photobombing him from behind. Well, he decided that he was going to enter the picture into a Made Me Smile competition in England, and he won the grand prize of a $2,000 holiday. So a vacation worth $2,000. And as soon as the lady who owns the horse, his neighbor, saw that he won, she went on a rampage and said that she should get half of the $2,000 because he did not have permission to submit the picture that had her horse in it. Now, it was a public walkway where they took the picture, but she's claiming that she should get half. And first of all, he said, I'm not giving them half because it's a holiday and they're not coming on holiday with me. So that's what he claimed. And she was like, well, then she was pursuing it and everything. Well, they got a lawyer involved. And apparently the lawyer said that because he was on a public walkway and took a picture, the horse just happened to be in the picture. That's no different than taking a picture like in the street in New York City and somebody happens to be in the picture. It's a public thoroughfare and a public walkway. So there's no rights. She didn't have any rights to it.
Wow, that is somebody who is just greedy and angry.
Yes.
If somebody took a picture of my horse, and think about you guys, like if somebody takes a picture of your own horse and they win a contest with it, oh my gosh, I think I'd be really, really super excited for them.
Well, and she,
I don't think I'd be like, I want some of your prize.
Well, she said she taught the horse to do this little maneuver. By the way, they all do it. You know, where they roll their lips back and stick their head up. Every horse does it, right? And she said, I was really annoyed to hear that he'd won the $2,000 and that used the picture of our horse without our permission. He should have asked for our consent. There should be some kind of token gesture, as it is our horse that has really won them the holiday.
Bring him a bag of carrots.
Yes.
I taught Thor how to do that. It's not that hard.
That's really a bad. I mean, talk about a woman with issues.
And God. I'm sorry, that guy is so hot and his little son is so cute.
He should have won, right?
He should have won. And the horse is just secondary to me. I'm like, whatever. Look at that guy. And his baby's so cute.
That hit the news everywhere. It was in The Guardian. It was in Daily Mail. That one hit the news everywhere. So I don't know if this lady kind of got the publicity that she really wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably.
Oh, my God. She probably thought people would be on board with her. You're right. You deserve money.
Then there was I have another cute. Do you want? Okay, I'll give you the choice, and then we'll have to do our commercial. I'll give you the choice. Do you want the cute 5-year-old boy holds a wedding for his pony story, or the loser of the week?
I think I just got the whole 5-year-old boy story, but we'll get to that one later. I want the loser of the week.
Okay, and then we'll do the loser of the week.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Loser of the week goes to Christopher Todd of DeLand, Florida, who pleaded no contest on Monday to aggravated battery with a motor vehicle. Apparently, he was out driving in his car, and there were these riders on the along the road, and he got into an argument with several people riding horses at the Blue Springs State Park in DeLand, Florida. One woman had reportedly told Todd not to speed in his Dodge Ram 1500 through the park. Officials say he responded with an expletive, and then the woman called him a racial slur. Well, he was having none of that. He turned his truck around, gunned it, and ran into the group of horses, killing one of the horses and injuring the rider. And then he left the scene of the crash, and they managed to track him down. And he has now pled no contest. Get this. Because it's battery with a lethal weapon, and he killed the animal and injured its rider, he's looking at up to 35 years in prison.
What a jerk.
Yes.
First of all, this is a lesson to you to watch your mouth. Yep. Because you say things that can't be unsaid, and she made some sort of racial slur to this guy. And it really, people that are on the edge, it pushes them over. So
I always think of how many people have guns in their cars now.
Yes.
You have to really think, does this guy have a gun on his seat?
Not that I'm ever really like a big bird flipper, but I've thought about doing it before, and I'm like, oh, they may have a gun.
Yep.
And some people shoot people for that.
That's right. But I'm still putting him in the loser of the week category.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, he might be the big winner. He might spend the rest of his life in prison.
Yeah, I was shocked at the amount of years. Now, I don't know if he's going to get that, but that you could get that was surprising to me. You know, usually these cases like this, you hear about him getting, 6 months probation, and they're done. But he could go to prison. I'm going to follow this story and see how many years he actually gets. I'm predicting five.
Do.
I'm predicting he gets five. All right, let's take a listen to our title sponsor, Back on Track Products, and we'll be right back with our first guest. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. All right, I got a chance to stop by the Back on Track booth at ADA, and they have some new products coming out. You're going to want to head on over to their website at backontrackproducts.com. They have some new human and also some new horsey. They're redesigning things a little bit over there as well. So check out all the products at backontrackproducts.com. Well, while we're waiting for our guest here, I'll give you the nice story, the non-loser story. And this is about a five-year-old boy who apparently he has this little mini horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Gabe is his name. The little boy's name is Gabe. And he found out that his red silver Shetland pony, this is really kind of mini horse size, Butterball, was due to start breeding foals. Well, his mother had always taught Gabe that a couple should marry before having children. So Gabe said, well, if Butterball is going to start having kids, Butterball needs to get married. So the stud's name, by the way, is Mr. Big Stuff. And you can just picture what Mr. Big Stuff looks like. What you picture is what Mr. Big Stuff looks like, by the way. So they decided to hold a wedding at the church, and Butterball and Mr. Big Stuff got married, complete with a minister, a cake, and a tutu for the bride, and a bow tie for the groom. The minister said it was the first horse wedding he had ever done. But now it's official, and apparently quite a few people showed up for the wedding, and it is the cutest thing you've ever seen. There's a video, and it's of Gabe and Butterball and walking down the aisle with the tutu on, and Gabe has his little cowboy hat and his little cowboy boots, and it really is the cutest thing you've ever seen. Your heart will melt.
I'm trying to get to the picture now. Oh my gosh.
I know, isn't that
so
cute?
So he like walked her down the aisle.
He gave her away, actually. And they had the carpet. They had a red carpet. They had a red carpet and white carpet for weddings. Well, they had the white carpet. They had the whole thing. He walked her down the aisle.
Does anybody else? So the groom was waiting down.
Yes. It's just like a wedding. They played music. The minister did the ceremony.
Does anybody else think what I think, which is, okay, like, that's really cute and everything, but there's a stallion standing next to a mare.
Apparently, Mr. Big Stuff is not really a aggressive stallion, from what I gathered from looking at it. Or they had him drugged heavily. I'm not sure.
Like, here you go, kids. Sure. Let me do a little lesson in Mother Nature.
I am not sure which it was, but they asked the guests actually through horse feed instead of rice.
Great. Now Mr. Big Stuff colics and he's unable to perform.
Now don't ruin this beautiful little story of Mr. and Mrs. Big Stuff, which is now what they're referred to. And they are living in the paddock together. And Gabe said he paid for the wedding by building a fence for his grandfather over the summer. So there you go. He also was learning responsibility at the age of 5. It's a beautiful wedding.
I am very concerned about the story. Yes, it's cute.
I'm very concerned. Don't ruin this story.
This raises more concerns to me than it does awe factor.
Well, let's go to our first guests. Actually, we have two here. We have Sarah and Jackie with us, and they are here to talk about... Well, actually, Sarah is the AQHA Publicity and Special Events Liaison, and we're going to be talking a little bit today about the AQHA Trail Challenge Program. We have a lot of our listeners are trail riders and are starting to get into competitive trail, whether it's ACTHA or other classes around the country, but the AQHA actually has one too. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Well, Sarah, welcome to the show. Can you give us a little bit of an overview of what the AQHA Trail Challenge is?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having
me. Oh, Sarah, we have a terrible connection with you. I can barely hear you, actually. So I'm going to put you back on mute. Maybe Haley can take a look at that. Jackie, can you answer that question?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we have you much better.
Okay. Thank you for having us, by the way. Basically, what this is it's designed for people. This is a competition. And I don't know exactly... An AQHA Trail Ride is sponsored by B&W Hitch, and it's a judge course. And there's like 6 different courses that they can do. Anybody who is willing to hold one can do so. So if anybody that's an AQHA member can schedule this. It's not something that, anybody, if they want to do like a fundraiser for their affiliate or anything like that, they can do so.
I've been to other trail challenges where it's a small confined course. And then there, you know, some of them, the NATRC does is a, 12-mile thing. So which is this?
Well, these are courses. We have a guidebook that we send out to anybody that's interested in holding a trail challenge. So, and it'll give them guidelines on what the courses are. And there's several different ones. Basically what it is they'll look through that and see what they want to do. And then what they'll do is they'll get a judge, and the judge or judges will judge each rider that they choose the course, whatever course they do. So that's basically how that is. And there are either points, they start with a certain amount and they'll either add points or deduct points in regards to how they ride that particular course.
What are they looking for, the judges?
Basically what they're, if you'll give me just one moment, I will kind of give you a guideline on what they look for. Basically, the number of judges that are needed depends on the course. Let me see here. Depending on the course, usually 1 to 3 judges are needed. Most courses tend to dictate the need for more than one judge due to the constraints. The designation of a senior judge, that's really not what you're asking for. Let's see.
Is this a question Sarah could answer better? Because we can come back to it. They were trying to get her on a different line here.
So hi, this is Sarah. We're having some difficulties here, yes. So we are just going to be swapping back and forth. So basically what the judges are looking for is how the horses are moving through the course. What the trail challenge is supposed to be is it's a fun, natural way, like if you're out in the on the trail, what your horse would do, like going over different logs or through a creek or that type of thing. And the judges are just looking on how the horses are moving and how willing they are to respond to their riders.
Got it. Okay, so it is very similar to some of the other trail challenges then that way.
Yeah.
Why did the AQHA do it when ACTA, you know, does a similar thing and that kind of thing? Is it strictly for members or can non-members participate too?
For the trail challenge, you have to be an AQHA member, but you don't have to be wearing or riding an American Quarter Horse because we do have an all breed section. We also have different trail rides, which is just a more casual event that you can come out and ride. And you don't have to be an AQHA member for those. But for the trail challenge, for the purpose of getting different points on the horse's record and that type of thing, you do have to be an AQHA member.
Okay, so it does count towards points then.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, and they'll eventually, with our computer system, it'll be on the horse's permanent record. But as of right now, all the points can be found online.
I have to tell you guys, we've had the AQHA on here much, and anytime somebody says permanent record, I think of elementary school. I just have to tell you guys that. Because
record is definitely a good thing.
Okay, good, because mine wasn't so good in elementary school, so I kind of cringe every time you guys say permanent record. It brings flashbacks.
The American Quarter Horse is... you want to make sure that your horse is registered so that you're making sure you're keeping up with all of the horses as the permanent record, all of his accomplishments and achievements, because people work so hard with their horses, and we just want to make sure that they're getting the recognition they deserve.
So there's nothing in there about detention hall?
No detention.
Okay, good, because that's my memory of my permanent record. So I have a thoroughbred. I can participate.
You can, yes, okay. In the all breeds trail challenges.
Got it.
So you would technically have to be an AQHA member, but you could come in with your thoroughbred and compete at an all breed trail challenge.
Which is okay, because there's a lot of AQHA members that have multiple breeds. So
yes,
so that,
and that kind of ties into, we also would suggest if you're out there riding. So majority of our members are just out trail riding and enjoying their horse, but not necessarily going to shows or races. We have the AQHA horseback riding program, which you can be rewarded for time spent in the saddle. And we have that for quarter horses and all breeds. So even though you're riding your thoroughbred, you can still be earning prizes for riding a number of hours from our corporate partners, just for spending time in the saddle.
Cool. And where are they held, and how can people find out more about them?
I'm going to pass that off to Jackie to answer that one.
Okay.
They are actually held throughout. It's anybody who would like to put one on. If someone is interested, they'll send in your application. It's $50 to do a trail ride. And then we'll advertise that information on our website, and we'll also print out some posters so that we'll send those to you, and then you can put those posters throughout your community to advertise for that particular trail challenge.
Got it. And what's the website? Do they just go to the AQHA website?
Yes, they'll go to AQHA.com, and then they'll click on the writing tab. And once they click on that, it'll bring up a page, and there will actually be a trail ride and then a trail challenge, and it'll have those schedules there.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. I know my wife's going to be looking at this because she's into everything trail obstacle right now. So I'm sure she'll be looking at this with her quarter horse and seeing what she can do with it. And
she's already tacked up, Glenn. Yeah, she's outside tacked up right now.
Getting something on Beaker's permanent record. So thanks, ladies. AQHA.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Was it just me that cringes every time I hear permanent record, or just because of my bad memories?
I hope you know that this will go down on your permanent record.
I'm glad nothing on this show goes on my permanent record. That'd be bad.
It does, because my God, I played guitar 4 or 5 years ago, and you're like, I'm going to play it again.
Oh, that's true. It goes on your permanent record, not mine.
You know, you just don't do enough to embarrass yourself, Glenn.
I don't.
You got to put it all out there.
I embarrass myself every day on this show.
So I would like to point out at this moment that the votes in the category of should Jamie read Black Beauty again or should Jamie not? You want to take a look at that? Let's see. Maybe you could crunch some numbers.
No, don't do it. Don't do it is what I'm saying. No, don't do it because apparently she... Oh, let me see here. Don't do it because apparently she's capable of doing a sing-along version with a guitar and a harmonica.
I love you, Jerry.
I love you, Jerry.
Jerry just likes you. He hates me.
I am not seeing any responses to the positive here. All I'm seeing is Jerry's.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
See, I'm going to find it right now. Oh, wait, I see...
I'm not seeing anything other than Jerry's.
See a bunch of comments.
Let's delete these quick.
Ruby says yes, 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 with about 100 exclamation
points. Ruby doesn't know what she's talking about.
Donahue says yes, another vote for me. Rossi would like for me to read it in a Southern accent. God, that's awesome. That'd be so awesome.
You know, I might let you do it if you do it the whole thing in a Southern accent. I might consider that, actually. That could be fun.
It was a cold day morning when I was born in the field. I could do it.
Yeah, but wasn't it about somebody in England? You'd have to do it in an English accent.
God, wouldn't that be awesome if I could get Victoria Spicer to read it?
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that. It would be awesome, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Okay. More votes for getting Victoria to read it.
Maybe every Wednesday she comes on, she can read a page.
Okay, hold on.
Victoria would probably do that, too. If you can get Victoria to agree to do it, then I agree.
And now it's time for the horse. I could just do it in an English accent. We don't need her.
You know, I actually kind of like the Southern accent. We could make believe it took place in Georgia. We could just change the names and make believe it took place in Georgia. We could make it the redneck version.
Now you're just being ridiculous, and you're offending me, and you're offending Anna Sewell, who wrote it.
Okay,
so,
all right. Like, this story wasn't offensive enough. So,
I mean, just say the votes are coming in, Glenn. It's a landslide. Okay. It is very unlike the Democratic.
I need some help here. Anybody that doesn't want to hear it should please post on our page that they do not want to hear it. Jerry, you have my permission to post about 85 more times. You're more than welcome.
It's one vote, Glenn. No. Just like if you were at the Iowa caucus in that Democratic primary I just mentioned, you only get one vote.
Mm-hmm. You don't think there's people that voted more than once in Iowa?
No, no, no. I'm trying to make a point.
All right, let's talk about the Clarion.
All right. Oh, the Clarion Hotel. I love it. I'm so excited.
Ooh, we're going to be there.
I know. I booked my room. So you need to book yours right now because, like, seriously, they don't have many of our Rolex special hotel rooms. So what you do is you got to call them up and tell them you want the Rolex experience. And I was kind of like weird. I was like, there's some chick that had no idea what I was talking about when I called. And I was like, I'd like the Rolex experience. And I felt like I was like, in the Prohibition era, and I'm like trying to get behind the door.
Did they know what the Rolex experience was?
she didn't. And she goes, hey, anybody know what the role? Oh, okay. Yeah, here you go. Yeah, we have a discount for you.
Good.
So that was all it took. So the Rolex Experience while the night, she's so nice. Everybody there is so nice, but she didn't know. So she just asked.
It's because they're Southern sweet. They probably talk to you in your accent.
Oh my gosh. I just started talking to her like this. I was like, hey, I'm looking for the Rolex Experience. And she's like, oh, let me check. Hold on. Hey, Martha, they got something called the Rolex Experience. And oh, okay. Here you go, honey. I got you a discount. Here we go. We're going to bring that on up. How many, what kind of bed would you like? Oh, you know what? We got this here. Honey, let me throw in a little extra couch for you. How's that?
Perfect. That's perfect. You should work there.
I know. It's like I just called them or something. Very sweet. And if you are going to the to Rolex or even Road to the Horse, Clarion is the place to go. Your access to the I'm going off script here, Glenn.
Okay.
The access to the Kentucky Horse Park is ridiculous. You go out your street and you go north and then you turn left on Ironworks Pike.
And you're there.
And that's the road the horse park is on. I mean, seriously, and all the traffic to get into Rolex on cross country day is insane, and it's all coming from the freeway. So it's like you just get to go at everybody who's stuck in line. So if you are not going to stay at the Clarion and you're a listener of
they definitely didn't have written in their ad. That's for sure.
I do apologize if you're stuck in traffic, and I apologize to Clarion. They do have a great full service restaurant, Cortland Southern Kitchen, and they have the bourbon bar, the bourbon sampler, the Sports Page Bourbon Bar and Grill is what it's called. Angelo's Pizza. And oh my gosh, my mouth is watering. I'm hungry. Clarion Hotel in Lexington is a place to go. Big breakfast buffet, free Wi-Fi, free airport shuttle to those of you who are flying in. So check them out at ClarionHotelLex.com. ClarionHotelLex.com is where you want to go to find them. Ask for the Rolex Experience. If you are going to go or if you think you're going to go, book it now because they're going fast.
There we go. Something with Wings from Templeton Thompson. And then we're going to be back. I managed to catch an interview with eventer Colleen Rutledge, and she's going to be at Rolex, by the way. So I managed to catch an interview with her while we were at Ada, and we'll hear that right after this song from Tempe.
Myself in a real bad situation. So far in, I can't find my way out. Seems I've gone from bad to worse to desperation. And I prayed as hard as I can pray. I know help is on the way, but I'm in a dive and falling fast. Is it too much to ask? Please be something with me. Some messy consequences from all the bad decisions that I've made. Some folks say there ain't no second chances. I've never lost my faith in your mysterious ways. I know you'll help me out, but it sure is a long way down. Please be something with a wing. Got a plan, you know what's best for me. You'll send me what I need. Please, please, please be something with wings. Guardian angel come.
That's Templeton Thompson with Something with Wings. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek, and we are brought to you today by Back on Track Products. You can find all of their terrific products at backontrackproducts.com. Well, I managed to catch an interview. I saw Brian Rutledge walking around, and you might recognize that name if you've listened to the Horse Husband episodes here at Horses in the Morning. Brian's been a guest a couple of times, and he is very popular and very active over in the Horse Hubby Facebook page, which only men are allowed. So he's very active over there. And Colleen, his four-star eventer wife, happened to be there too. I managed to catch an interview with both of them that I thought was very interesting. Colleen is very candid about eventing and the business of eventing. So let's take a listen. Well, I'm here at Ada, and you never know who you're going to run into here. And I ran into a very popular guy on the Horse Husbands episodes and in the Horse Husband group on Facebook, and that's Brian Rutledge. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good. It's good to meet you in person.
Yeah, finally, right?
I know. It's a lot of fun. And he also happens to have the famous one along. Colleen Rutledge is here as well, eventer extraordinaire.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. Come right into the mic. Get close. All right. So now you guys are here. Well, you're here because you're a sponsored rider for a couple of the companies here, right?
Yes. I'm lucky enough to have a couple of sponsors that allow me to come in and kind of see some of their new things and some of the stuff that's going around. And since they bring me in, I get to go trolling through everybody else's.
You want to give a plug for a couple of them while you're here?
ERS is the one that's nice enough to let me come in.
And Ovation's ERS, a sponsor of ours.
And, yeah. You know, I'm sponsored by Mountain Horse. I'm sponsored by Rompf. Sponsored by Veritas. And, you know.
How important are sponsors for you?
Incredibly important. Even when it's not a monetary sponsor, the fact that they, you know, they allow me to use their products, and it takes... One, they give me some amazing products to use, and then they also, they'll take some of my feedback, you know, for how to make things better. But not only that, it means that I don't have to use my resources to go out and purchase things, so I can actually concentrate on what I'm doing more. And it's I feel like it's been beneficial in both directions. So, you know, it's not only do I get great product, but I also get to then help and say, hey, this is something that you guys didn't realize happened. You know, and it helps to refine everything for everybody. So it's just fantastic.
You're heading off. We're here in sunny Philadelphia, sunny, chilly Philadelphia right this weekend. Next weekend, you are going to sunny, warm Wellington, hopefully sunny, warm. It's so much rain and stuff down there.
Hush.
But now it's for, say the name of the show again.
I believe it's the $75,000 Wellington Eventing Showcase.
This is the one they started a couple of years ago that was by invitation only.
Yeah.
And they bring, and it's sort of a modified course in a stadium and...
I haven't actually gotten to go, so I'm really excited to go see what it is. But
sort of like an eventing derby.
It's kind of. I mean, it's a little bit more. It's a little bit more than a derby and a little less than a CCI. But it's definitely. I'm excited to go. One, because it's going to create another atmosphere that my guys have got to just simply, you know, continue being introduced to.
And you know, the crowds will be big for that.
And you know, and it's. The couple of horses that I have that I'm taking, I'm really excited to see how they handle it and see how they can go. So, and it's, I feel like it's a really, really great, you know, kickoff to the season.
Not to mention, it's a big deal to be invited.
Yeah.
I'm going to pat your back a little bit on that one because it is a big deal to be invited. There's only, what, 20?
I think there's 20 riders. Yeah. I think there's like 35 horses that are going. So, you know, I'm excited. I think it'll be fun.
And you winter in Aiken, right?
I do.
Okay. So it's a little bit of a trip for you to head down south?
Yeah, it's almost as long as coming back home. You know, it's a 9-hour drive from home. It's an 8-hour drive to Wellington. So it should be interesting.
And are you flying down, Brian?
I'm not. I'm doing my usual, I get to take care of the kids thing, make sure they get to school and everything. So I'd like to go.
He's playing horse husband.
Yeah, I actually looked into prices for tickets to go down there, and it wasn't really worth it. I can watch. They're going to have a live feed, so I'm going to watch it online.
Yeah, and that will be available. I know I watched it last year, so that'll be a lot of fun. Now, you are staying home. How long is she gone that you are actually home on your own?
Usually about 3 months.
Three months.
Yeah, I mean, we go down. We'll go down in 2 weeks. There's a long weekend. What weekend is that? I don't
President's
know.
Day weekend.
President's Day weekend. We'll go down. We'll leave Friday after the kids get out of school.
How old are the kids?
They are 8 and 13. Two girls.
Is it easier now that they're a little older than when you were, they were younger, or is it worse now?
They fight. And fight and fight.
I find
and
it
argue.
Easier, and he will say that I find it easier because I leave. But no, I find it easier because I can actually talk to them on a little bit more of an adult level. And they understand yeah. a little bit more on why I'm having
okay,
to do this.
I was wondering about that.
They're not okay with me doing it, but they accept it.
Are either one of them horsey?
Absolutely.
Both.
Oh, really?
Both.
I think
very,
I've talked to you.
Horsey.
They're both eventing already, and
yeah.
They were actually at the Horse World Expo with Jimmy Wofford.
Doing, oh, good.
They were the only two riders with Jimmy Wofford last
How'd
Friday.
That go?
I offered them up to the...
you sacrificed them to the...
I sacrificed them to the eventing gods for that one.
They actually did great. Jimmy thought they did awesome. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. So it was pretty exciting for me to watch them with Colleen's coach, you know.
Yeah.
That's her original coach, you know, that she's been coached
Who do you train with now?
I still do a little bit. Wofford is always going to be a part of my life. Just simply... One, because he's got a wealth of knowledge that, you know, if I can just continue sopping that up for the rest of my life, then I'll be good. But he has pushed me to kind of expand my horizons a little bit and get a little bit more specialized. And dressage, I work with Mara DePue and Linda Zhang. The two of them work really well to get inside my head and help me ride better. And because I'm on the list this year, I get to work with David and I get to work with Silvio and I get to work with those guys. And then show jumping, I really enjoy riding with Doug Payne and his
Doug's
wife.
Doug's a good guy, yeah.
You know, and because everybody just gives me a slightly different perspective on what we're looking for. So it helps me to hone exactly where I'm trying to get. And, you know, I have such great eyes around me and I have such really good friends that really help me to become better. And that's my whole goal ever, is always to become better. I want to be the best rider that I can be. May not be the best rider in the world, but as long as I'm achieving what I want, then that's exactly where I want to go. So.
And who's going to Rolex this year?
Hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, it's always one of those things that you always write your plans in pencil. But I'm hoping that I've got Covert Rights and Ascot Six.
Oh, two of them?
Hopefully are going. And it'll all depend on what their season looks like, you know, their spring season. But, you know, you aim for the moon and sometimes you actually get there.
How many shows will they go to now before Rolex? Because we're really only 3 months away, right?
Oh, my God. No, don't like...
Thanks for the reminder, right?
No problem.
The
That's
panic
what I'm here for.
Has already begun. My groom has already started a countdown of panic.
You know, I can tell you a funny story. I go to Colleen's physio, the massage therapist, and she told me she was giving me a massage, and she was talking to me, and she mentioned Rolex. And I started saying, so she said, you know, you really tense up when I said Rolex.
Oh, it's unreal. Like, really and truly, if I sat down with my calendar, I could tell you how many jump schools I have left, how many gallops I have left. Like, and it does. It becomes a countdown.
I think a lot of people don't realize the amount of planning that goes into your year, you know, as
my
a professional
planning,
eventer.
Not only that, and I
and
only
goal
have,
setting too. I mean,
I sit down in the beginning of the year and I set goals for all of my horses. And I only currently have, I personally have, we'll say 12 horses. We'll make that a nice round number.
Well, that's the number you're going to tell your husband anyway.
I have 12 horses that I sit down and I plan out my entire year, and then I plan my entire year for my students. And because, I mean, one of my tenets is always the fact that if you don't know where you're going, you have no idea how to get there. And even if we don't
make it...
That's
true in any business.
Well, no. And even if we don't make it to, you know, that end goal, if we've been... in the progress, in the you know, the possibility of getting there, then it is so much easier to go, oh, yeah, no, we're clicking right along, this feels great, or nope, we've got to address this, we've got to go here, we've got to go there. You know, so I do that for all of my horses, then I do that for my students' horses, then I do that for my kids, And there's always input. I have an idea in my head, and everybody has to give me input on where what they feel like they want to do.
I know. I'm going to get a question from listeners. How do you do it, Joe? How do you physically do it? Do you put it down? Do you have Google Docs that you share
calendar
with everybody?
I have a handwritten calendar, and then I also have I made up a spreadsheet about 10 years ago that has all of my horses, all of the events. Like, it has scheduled my entire week, my entire year out, weekend by weekend. And I go through and I mark down, because I have a finite amount of me.
Right.
I'm not Buck. I can't take 15 horses to a show and come out on the other end walking. I just can't. Like,
sometimes he doesn't either.
yeah, no. Like, my biggest thing is I actually want
Sorry,
to enjoy.
Buck.
Buck is amazing. Like, I don't know how he does what he does, but he does.
His farm is, like, right across from us.
It is phenomenal. But so I want to limit the amount of horses that I have to ride in a day. One, because I want to give each horse its absolute best ride. And two, I want to enjoy it. Like, yeah, I do this for a business, but I also do it because I love it.
So let's take it one step further. So you set your goals out, and you have a goal to go to this particular show. Do you also then go minute in that this is a jog day, this is a jump day,
you
have to be flexible depending on the horse. But
well, I have to be flexible depending on the
horse.
But
there is a plan. Everyday plan to get to.
I go through, and once I figured out my ending goal, then I count back, and I figure out where my gallop sets go. And then I figure out, you know, I do more flat work than anything else.
It's more important than it ever was. Every day
it gets a little more important. And then I figure out where I'm going to do jump schools. And then I figure out, you know, and we figure it out down to when the farrier has to come, because certain horses have to be done at a certain time, because I need their feet to, you know, be within
a certain length.
Within 1 to 2 weeks. It becomes absolute tedious. It becomes, okay, when are they going to get treated? When is their last treatment for this? When can I do this? When can I clip them? Because I have one horse that I actually, he needs to be clipped, but he has to be drugged to be clipped. So I have to, I mean, I even have to go down to scheduling him.
Are your
so that
working students shocked at the amount of work it actually all is? Because they're coming in wanting to ride horses, right?
Well,
I mean, just to ride horses. It's the fantasy of every teenage girl.
Right.
And then they discover there's a whole business side that takes up 75% of your time.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's definitely been an eye-opening experience for my working student this year. And it was an eye-opening experience for my groom last year. Last year, it was really funny. She got roped into writing some blogs. And essentially, I think one of her first blogs was What Pony Club Didn't Prepare Me For. And it was, you know, we sat down and had a very long and in-depth conversation at one point of, yeah, I chose you because you're Pony Club, but let's talk about the real world. And as much of a supporter of Pony Club as I am, and I truly believe that it gives these kids a great base.
It gives them the basics. Yeah, the
but
base.
It's basics. Yeah. You know,
it's sort of like going to college and then coming out and getting the real job and discovering it's nothing like they said it was going to be.
I tried to explain to my father at one point, because I do have, you know, I do have my associate's degree. I did go to school. My trade-off was, hey, Dad, can we take the rest of my college fund and put it in this farm? To which he thought I was completely out of my mind. But he went along with it, because I actually wrote a business plan and I actually came up and, like, I could lay it out very emotionlessly. And he saw that I actually had forethought and there was a process. He still thinks I'm insane, but I tried to explain to him. I'm like, Dad, I currently have a PhD in eventing. Like, there are not a whole lot of people in the world that have this level of knowledge for what I do.
If you don't do the business side, what you just talked about, I call that the business side,
yeah.
Okay? If you don't do the business side, you're not going to make it as a professional rider. You're going to fail at some point.
Yes.
Because something's going to catch
yes
up with you, right?
Yes and no. Yeah. The thing is that yes and no. Something's going to catch up with you, or you're going to overlook something that. But, I mean, I can name it. I know a lot of people that aren't as
fly by night kind of.
And they definitely, they do it because they love it.
Do they already have a financial base, though?
Yes.
See, that's the difference.
Yes.
I mean,
and
that's different than all those of us that are trying to make it work and actually have to make a living.
And I'm walking a really fine line.
Right.
I can't honestly say that I make a living at it, because I do have supporters in the fact that my mom and dad are humongous supporters. And I know for a fact that I couldn't do this without them. monetarily, especially because they own the farm that I work out of. So, you know, things are quite easy for me in that aspect.
So I always ask this question to professionals, whether they're trainers or riders or whatever, where does your income come from? What percentage? Not dollar
this
amounts,
income
but...
income you speak of.
selling horses, doing lessons.
I do a lot of lessons. Okay. You know, I do a lot of lessons.
I'm trying to do this. Your husband's here. We're trying to convince him make a little money.
Here's the thing. I don't actually ask him for any money. The only money...
No, I didn't mean that.
But I'm saying is...
I understand.
The most relationships, when there's a husband and wife, the wife is actually taking money from the household to help support her habit. I mean, her horses. and I have tried really hard to make sure that that didn't happen. We have a separate household account, which is how we work our household bills. And then I have... a business account.
There's a lot of husbands listening right now. They're very jealous of you.
Well, yeah, you know what? We got into this and we knew this.
We did.
And as soon as...
We had to sit down when we were first together, and he didn't actually understand it for a very long time. He looked and saw that, you know, there was this money coming in. Why wasn't it continuing to come in? Why was it disappearing? And he's finally starting to understand that, yeah, I make a lot of money. I spend a lot of money because, unfortunately, this is not cheap.
And that's true of any business, actually.
But
your profit's still a small part of what your revenue is.
You know, and the thing is that he has been great. Brian is actually, he was one of the reasons that I could buy my Ascot Six horse. So we kind of laugh that he's an owner, even though there's no paperwork whatsoever that says that.
Especially when she goes to sell it. Oh, you own part of that
this
horse?
Selling yeah, of horses. Yeah, this is an interesting concept.
I did not get $100,000 for that horse, and nothing in writing.
But I mean, it's definitely.
I've been a horse husband a long time, Brian.
But I try to. I try to make sure that there's definitely a division of where the money is, so that it doesn't get muddled. So that, you know, I can actually claim my horse expenses as horse expenses, and I, you know, we can claim our house expenses as house expenses.
Well, you have to do that. It is a business.
We have to. Yep. And it makes it a lot clearer and a lot easier on the finances to simply go, nope, don't have money for that.
I'm going to ask you a really hard question then. Is it still fun? And does the business ever get in the way of the fun for you? Because, riders ride because, it's
fun.
A business, but it's fun.
It is fun. Yeah. I love doing what I'm doing. I absolutely love doing what I'm doing. There are business aspects that I hate doing.
Well, that's true of all of us.
I get jealous of her.
But it's one of the, it's one of those, I could not do this business if I did not love it. Like, it breaks your heart faster than anything. And you put your blood, sweat, and tears into every moment. And sometimes you get a reward, and sometimes you swim in German water. And, you know, it's
filled with sharks. So, Brian?
Yes.
Would you trade it? Are you having fun? Do you have fun watching her Rolex, or do you get nervous like I used to?
No, I get nervous. Yeah. I mean, I don't get nervous with the little jumping.
Yeah. No, I'm at Rolex.
You know, but Rolex, like Rolex, Burley. Burley was, I actually was stupid and walked the course before she rode this time.
And were you like me walking around going, I don't think they made the jumps this big?
I walked up to the one jump and I was like, this is bigger than any jump I've ever seen in my life on cross country. And I've walked around Rolex and I've walked around Fair Hill. You know, I've walked around all, but this jump at Burley was just like, what? Are you kidding me? And, you know,
was it the same jump that David walked
yes,
down to?
Yes, David
and goes,
O'Connor apparently
no
walked.
No way that
walked
this is actually legal.
Yeah. There's a good picture on her face.
And how'd it ride?
Beautiful. Yeah. By that point, we were past most of the waters. Everything was awesome. No, I mean, it rode beautifully. Like, you know, I'm so lucky to have an amazing horse that, you know, can do that.
Well, let's end with your amazing horse's names.
It's Covert Rights.
So when people go to Rolex, they're going to look for
Covert Rights. He's
Covert
awesome.
Rights. Okay.
And
there was a second
Ascot Six.
Ascot Six.
So,
okay. And if you want to hear more of Brian, you need to tune in to a couple of the past Horse Husband episodes that we've done, because he's been hanging out over there. He's an active contributor to the Horse Hubby Facebook page, too. And we determined that when the wives go away, pretty much the husbands play video games. That's what we determined on the Facebook page.
Play video games and drink.
And drink. That was the two things that get them through.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Website?
ColleenRutledgeEventing.com.
ColleenRutledgeEventing.com. And same thing on Facebook?
Facebook's Colleen Rutledge Eventing, yes.
Okay, great. Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Thanks, Glenn.
Well, there you go. That was a fun interview. I enjoyed talking to them.
That is great conversation right there. That was super interesting to listen to. Oh my gosh. And she is sassy.
Yeah, she's sassy. She didn't put up with any crap.
No. You have to have that kind of personality, I think, to do what she does.
Yeah.
You just have to be like, go for it.
I was surprised. That's probably one of the most honest, candid interviews I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, where she was just extremely honest about everything. And that's why I went the direction I did. We had no plan when we started that, but I ended up going to the business side, because very seldom do you get them to talk that candidly about the business side of their operation.
Yeah, so. I want to know how to make money. I mean, I was listening to that and I feel like I just kind of got cheated.
Yeah. She was basically saying is you still need a backer. If you're going to be at 4-star level, you got to have somebody paying the bills.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to make enough money unless you're a William Fox. You know, there's probably the 1% at the top that make money doing this because they sell horses for $250,000, $500,000 each. But other than that, you know, you got to have somebody paying the bills.
Yeah. Now, I did, there is a new way that I think Avengers are trying to pay the bills, or a couple of them are, and it's a new TV show. And I know that you can find it on YouTube. I don't know who's making it. I don't know much about it, but it's going to come out soon. An hour-long television episode with Buck Davidson and Kyle Carter, both 4-star Avengers.
Both been guests on our shows many times.
Yeah. I mean, I rode with Kyle when I was younger. And Buck, son of Bruce Davidson. Hello. He like wins everything. So each episode of the nearly hour-long Buck and Kyle show is going to feature FEI shows around the world and begin with a pre-show analysis followed up with a post-show recap. Now, what that means is... basically, the first episode is about the Wellington Eventing Showcase in Florida,
which Colleen mentions coming up this weekend.
Yep. Exactly, coming up this weekend. So apparently, it's very international. There's some New Zealand riders. There's some
$75,000 in prize money.
Exactly. So Buck and Kyle apparently take a look at the starting field for the show, which starts with dressage on Friday, and. What they do is each one picks like their Olympic team from the competition. Like they pick four, and then like Buck will pick four and Kyle will pick four.
Oh, so they're handicapping it.
They're kind of gambling sort of in a way that 4-star riders can only gamble. Right. And this is whoever wins, the other one has to compete one of their horses. So like if Kyle wins, Buck has to compete one of Kyle's horses. And if Kyle wins or Buck wins, Kyle has to ride one of his horses. And Kyle, the quotes are so funny. Basically, Kyle's like, my horses are a lot nicer than his. And so I don't really want to ride his. He says, it scares me a bit because I've seen Buck's horses and I'm riding better horses at the moment. And I don't think Buck will be nice enough to give me one of the ones I actually want.
No. Ballyhoo Castle's not going over to, No.
We're going to go beginner novice on a horse that's been off the track for 10 minutes.
Sounds kind of like fantasy football with an eventing twist.
Yeah, kind of.
Fantasy eventing.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Now, Jamie, however, would like to throw it out to the universe, to both of them, to both Kyle and Buck, that she would be happy to ride any of their horses at any time.
I'll ride your beginner novice off the track horse.
But even if it's been only off the track for 4 minutes, she'll take it.
I'll take it. Let's do it. You can, fans are invited to send in their team picks to fanmail@buckandkyle.com, and the fan winner will be announced in the show's recap program. So basically, and apparently they filmed the first part of it, and the episode continues like well into the dark of night because Buck was late, like half hour late, and Kyle goes on to say, Buck showed up half an hour late. Anyone who knows him is probably used to that, but yeah. I like punctual. I was working, Davidson replied. So it just sounds like it'll be fun back and forth for both
of those two together will be a lot of fun. Because Buck is also one that's pretty candid about what he says. So,
well, Kyle is like that too. Yeah. So he kind of says what.
And Kyle's Canadian, right?
He is Canadian. Yeah,
so we got Canada versus the United States, an added twist there.
Yeah, it should be good. So I think, obviously, I just said send fan mail to buckandkyle.com. So let me see what that website is. Talk amongst yourselves.
And that's coming up this weekend. And I wish we could get down for that. We don't have time this weekend. We have in-laws coming in, but I would love to go to that sometime. That looks like a lot of fun. And the way I have it set up, being that it's kind of a shortened version, a really shortened version of a cross-country course, you can see all of the jumps, which makes it fun from the stands.
I'm still Googling. So
and Jennifer, I know you're listening. Maybe you could let me know. Did you reschedule Stuart Pittman? Are we rescheduling him? I know he was supposed to be on Friday talking about this year's coming up Thoroughbred Makeover, and we had the Skype crashing issue, so we couldn't get him on. Okay, good. It's not confirmed yet. Okay. I do have some news while you're looking. Did you get it yet?
They don't have a website. Okay. There's no Buck and
Just
Kyle.
Just going to be on YouTube. We'll try and find a link to it and post it when it comes out. Jamie will keep an eye on it.
So the first episode on the show, they show who they, I just found another story about it on Eventing Nation. Just doesn't say where to watch it.
I know. Like, oh, we'll keep an eye on it.
Well, they have the subscribe. There's a subscribe link.
Okay.
For YouTube. Yeah.
So you got to click it to subscribe to their YouTube channel. So they probably get commercials and be good for them.
Cool.
It's awesome.
Well, coming up, Thoroughbred Makeover this year. We cover it every year. Matter of fact, we've covered it for, well, the first year when there were 10 horses, weren't there, when Stuart did this at his farm in Pennsylvania, Stuart Pittman.
It's come a long way.
Yeah, come a long way. Well, I have the numbers. The applications are in. They received applications from 488 trainers with 741 horses. Yes, you heard the numbers right. There's a $100,000 grand prize this year. These are some of the statistics about people who entered. 488 trainers applied. 253 of those hoped to bring two horses for a total applicant pool of 741 horses. Our own Mary Kitzmiller sent in her application. They came from 45 states, 4 Canadian provinces in England. Their primary disciplines of expertise are, what do you think, number one?
Hunter jumper.
Eventing.
Eventing
number one, show jumpers number two. I would have guessed show jumpers or hunters being number one, but they have show hunters 98, show jumpers 64, dressage, barrel racing, working ranch, freestyle hunter, competitive trails, and poor polo in last place. There are 271 professionals, 162 amateurs, and 55 juniors, and they range in age from 10 years old to 71 years old. 350 have already acquired an eligible thoroughbred to train for the event, and 138 have not. The largest states are Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Maryland, Ohio, Virginia, and Michigan. So there you go.
So what I see is that, you know, most people have signed up for eventing, and if you want to make some money, let's go with polo. I still hear an echo, buddy.
Yeah, we got an echo coming from Haley, I think, a little bit. So
Haley,
if you could go on mute, that would be great.
You're muted. So if you want to make some money, have some polo. But yeah, you said, sadly, polo and last. There's 17 entrants in the polo division. Yeah. And these are off-the-track thoroughbreds.
Now, they're only going to take 500 horses. That's the maximum capacity, which still, when you think about a competition of this kind, that's a lot of horses.
500 entrants is like Galway Downs on this weekend.
Yeah, and if I remember right, when they do this at the Kentucky Horse Park, there's always other things going on at the same weekend. So it's a pretty busy place. So it should be interesting to see who you know, winds up getting it. I hope Mary Kitzmiller gets in, because it's going to be fun having her, you know, being able to follow her along with her on the show here.
And we can get to, there's a woman that owns Carefree Farms, which is where Thor and I have done all our little horse shows and stuff. She got a thoroughbred for the makeover. So I guess
if you get the thoroughbred ahead of time and apply, you're still taking a risk about whether you get picked, right?
Yeah, well, she got the thoroughbred, and he's basically been sitting. She got him.
Yeah, because they're not allowed to do work until a certain point, right?
Yeah, so he was sitting in a paddock, basically, until
He almost has to be on rest until January, February it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was January 1st, so now she started working him. I believe that was the date, and he's, oh, gorgeous. So I think she's going to be a contender, so we'll definitely have to talk to her.
Good, cool. It'd be fun to follow a couple of them and, you know, get updates like every month or something. And chat with them and follow them along the way. Of course, Mary's easy if we can do that. I want to follow up. If you missed Monday's show, we had a fun show from American Equestrian Trade Association. Go back and listen to some of the new products. But we made some announcements there, and I wanted to follow up on those. One of the announcements we made was that we are going to be doing, the first time that anybody is going to be doing this, is live coverage on the Sunday, 4 hours live, play-by-play of the finals on the Sunday of Road to the Horse coming up in March. Tootie, who runs Road to the Horse, you've heard her on this show, called me up and said, we really want to get some live coverage. We can't do video because RFD films it and puts out a TV show later. So they can't do live video from the event, but she said nothing's stopping us from doing audio. So Mary Kitzmiller and I, and then she asked me to co-host it. She really wanted me to do it. And I said, I don't know a darn thing about training, but I can tell you, you know, the hot dogs are good. So she said, I want you to do it, and we'll get somebody who knows about training. And I said, I want Mary. So Mary's competed there twice. She's going to help me out with that 4 hours of live coverage. And then we're going to have
fun. Yeah, I thought you were going to say you were going to invite me, but then you drop a name like Mary Kitzmiller.
Who's actually competed in the training. So we're going to do that. We're going to have a lot of people stopping. We're going to have a lot of people stopping by.
Go back on mute, you.
A lot of people stopping by who are going to help us out during that coverage, too. So we'll actually have two shows coming from there, and then the live coverage on Sunday. First time that's happened. It's sponsored by horselovers.com. So Horse Lovers has stepped up, and they're going to be our title sponsor for that event. Also, Weatherbeta has stepped up, and we had Michelle, the president of Weatherbeta, who I got to speak with quite a bit this weekend. Kind of cool to know the presidents of these big companies, you know. She came on the show with us at the end of the show Monday and announced that they are our title sponsor for our Rolex coverage. Jamie and I are going to be there. We're going to be doing two shows from Rolex, and we're also going to be doing a meetup. So one or two meetups. We might meet in the bourbon bar one night too. So so let us know what the scoop is and whether you're going to be going to Rolex. We'll formalize that a little bit. We definitely will be doing that. Worked out well. We'll meeting at Jump One before the start of Cross Country Day. So, and then we kind of wandered around together and then met later at we got the free booze at Eventing Nation's tent. So we'll be heading.
It's a perfect circle, really.
Yes, it is. So we'll be doing that. So that should be fun. We'll announce more about that. And then also, Radiothon is definitely still on. As a matter of fact, we've heard from most of our sponsors who said, yes, definitely, we want to do it again. We have to do it. It was so much fun. So Radiothon is on. I've already had a bunch of the prize providers and new prize providers at ADA saying, we want to be involved. We want to give away prizes. So I think it's going to be a great day, bigger and better than last year. Although we started with Charlie Daniels. Who are we going to do as an opening interview this year?
Shania Twain.
Book it, Dano.
Haley.
Come on, Haley. Chop, chop. You got a lot of work to do, girl.
What about Carrie Underwood?
That'll work.
She doesn't really ride.
Whatever, who you either one of those, you get them booked. But Shania actually uses horses out there and, you know, is very known for that. So I'm almost leaning toward, isn't she the one in Vegas, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Her show in Vegas is running its course.
Hey, Garth Brooks has horses, too. If you get Garth, Jamie will just melt into a pile of goo.
Oh, God.
You know what? We could probably get Garth, come to think about it. If we tell his people that Charlie Daniels was on last year, Garth would do it.
I can't even.
You're
just
speechless,
stop.
Aren't you?
Let's see. I would like to go ahead and put out the numbers on the Would You Like Jamie to Read Black Beauty Again? Because I think it's interesting. A resounding yes. We did have, you know, obviously your boy, he's kind of a jerk, and I'm ignoring him.
But, you know, Jerry did come to your side when he said Victoria Spicer could read the phone book and I'd listen. So that kind of sounds. So what I'm getting out of this, and I am the boss, is that if Victoria does it, we could do it. Because I'll listen to Victoria read anything, too.
You know what? I would like to hear her read it, too. So that'd be awesome.
You know, kind of be funny just having to read the phone book. The way
that's what happens, Victoria, when you don't show up on a Wednesday.
Right. You get she probably hates the story. You watch. You're going to write to her. She says, I hate that god-awful story. So well, you watch.
Ellen, sorry.
You could hate Black Beauty.
I know.
Well, oh, it's an awful story. It's outdated. It's just awful. It's an awful story.
It's the first time that anyone ever gave animals a conscience, you know, and made people think about what they were doing. So I can argue with the basically people are using Black Beauty and their anti-carriage arguments because horses were totally persecuted back in those days.
It's an awful story. It's a miserable, depressing
story. It is the first time that somebody brought awareness to the plight of animals in general.
All right, all right. No lectures. You got to get Victoria to read it or it's not happening. And then she can read like one page a month. It'll take us about 65 years to get it done.
She's on every Wednesday. And what I'll have her do is I'll have her just read it into a recorder, send us the thing. We'll just cut it up.
Yeah, she's going to volunteer.
We could have favorite part.
And she's going to bill you for that because that's what she gets paid to do for a living. So you're going to pay the bill.
What if I had just another British friend? And I has to be Victoria.
You know who actually would be the one to read this, don't you? Who has the most beautiful British accent ever, Samantha.
Oh, she does have a good one. All right. Well, if Victoria says no, we'll get Samantha to
There you go. Well, very good, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Haley, thank you for interning.
Yep. Glad to help.
We're going to have to fix that echo we have there the next time, though. We'll have to work on that because a little bit of an echo is still going on, but we'll work on that for the next time. Tomorrow, we have the Australian episode with Fiona, who is a lot of fun, and she has a lot of fun in the auditor room, too. She's one of our great auditors, so she'll be here tomorrow, and Lord knows who she has as guests because she always comes up with some big names. And then Friday's Really Bad Ads. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. That's Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Send them in today. Thanks, Jamie. Good to talk to you again, all except for this whole Black Beauty nonsense.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Have a great day.
See y'all.
Guild. Good to talk to you, too. Thanks, Haley. Thanks, Jennifer.
I felt like I should throw them in.